on the under $3 menu at McDonald's, a McChicken is $2. Because when you're craving a McChicken, you deserve a McChicken. And now that McChicken is just $2 with McValue.
Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher for delivery.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with Kia.
Now, earlier today, Minister for Public Expenditure Jack Chambers updated Cabinet with details on the redevelopment of Dublin's historic GPO complex. A large-scale public consultation process will begin in the coming months, inviting citizens and stakeholders to contribute ideas on the future use of the GPO, with an estimated cost of up to £500 million being reported. And I'm delighted to say that Jack Chambers, Minister for Public Expenditure, joins us now in studio. Good evening to you, Minister. This redevelopment, we're discussing it yesterday on the show, and our listeners had huge interest in what's going to happen to the GPO. How do you see this playing out?
So look, we want to ensure this is an inclusive conversation, a national one, because it's a moment of renewal for the GPO, for O'Connell Street. We know the huge importance it is as a place of remembrance, a focal point of civic expression, and it's a place that is so valued in the heart of Irish people across the country. And that's why over 100 years on, we need to see it upgraded and revitalised with the kind of wider vision we have for our city. And that's why we want to do that in an inclusive way, very much driven by the public interest. So three kind of priorities were advanced by government today. First of all, transferring it from Department of Culture to the Office of Public Works, who are going to lead on this project. Secondly, having a temporary meanwhile use. So we want to ensure that while we're developing plans and developing the GPO in an inclusive way, how do we bring people into it? For too many people, they might be going by it but don't necessarily experience it. So having a civic and community space is something that will be developed, opportunities for further office space, but again, to improve its public realm in the short term. So that's something we'll be advancing with the Office of Public Works. And then thirdly, having the wider national conversation is something that we're advancing and will progress over the next number of months. And we want people to, shape its future. How do we secure its legacy for the next 100 years? How do we connect young people today and future generations with the importance of the GPO in the context of Irish history? And how does it develop, and how is it a catalyst, I think, for the kind of development of our core inner city? We know some of the challenges on O'Connell Street around dereliction. I think there's a real opportunity for the state to, put the capital investment into the centre, and how it'll kind of provide a real opportunity for wider economic and social development within O'Connell Street, which I know has got a lot of criticism over recent years.
How long will it remain in this meanwhile use that's being, I suppose, talked about currently?
So we're going to do the consultation over the next number of months, but the plan would be up in the next number of, similarly in parallel, is to get people into it. So have temporary meanwhile use starting in 2027, early 27. So we're in the Telegraph room today, and the plan is to have a civic and cultural space there for up to 250 people, which people, community groups and the wider public will be involved in. So that, it'll be the next 10 to 12 months, we'll have kind of the consultation, develop plans. And then the plan will be to have phased development of the GPO over a 5 to 10 year period. So parts of it will be upgraded while we have continued community use in parallel, so that it continues to be an active space, enhancing its public realm. So essentially, it's to have the two in parallel. And the end outworking, I expect, will be a much more integrated, inclusive, open GPO for the public in the context of the museum, potential office spaces, community spaces, it being a kind of a cultural component for the future as well.
If it's going to take up to 10 years, that doesn't say anything about there being any level of urgency to this idea of a reimagining of O'Connell Street, for example, which, as you say, is kind of down on its luck at the moment.
Well, no, the plan would be to actually have significant progress this in the next 1 to 5 years. So I'm just saying the conclusion of the total project could take up to that length of time. But the plan would be to have phases of this advance in line with what the public want and what the public say in the context of the consultation. We've also put significant capital aside in the, which goes out to 2030. So we've prioritised this in the sector investment plan with the Office of Public Works, so that there is money allocated to drive progress on this in the next number of years. So it's not, I'm just saying the end point could go into the early 2030s, but the plan would be to have phase of this progressed in the next short number of years.
And in terms of the Office of Public Works, obviously you're removing it from the Department of Culture, but there's been many high profile instances recently of the Office of Public Works spending huge money on what people would see as poor value projects, things like over 300,000 on a bike shed at the Dáil. Have you confidence that that 500 million will be spent wisely and well for the public purse? Because a lot of people have concerns about the Office of Public Works and how flahoolock they are with money.
Well, there's a broad cost range of what could take place here. But again, this will be shaped by the public's input and what type of project they want to see
developed. The public won't be managing the budget, though.
No, but the value for money principles will absolutely be anchored in any decisions that we make on the kind of wider regeneration and the renewal of the GPO. So I acknowledge some of the concerns with some of the projects that you've listed, and the value for money context is absolutely essential that we secure value for money in any regeneration plans that take place, and that'll be central to anything that I agree to or indeed Minister Boxer-Moran agrees to, who is responsibility for the OPW.
And maybe lastly on the GPO, but do you expect this space to reflect, I suppose, the iconic and the very unique position that the GPO holds in our history and in our cultural context, sort of the birthplace of the nation, as some people would sort of see it.
Yeah, people kind of have that strong attachment to the proclamation, to it having a unique place in the hearts of Irish people. But how do we reimagine that for the next 100 years and ensure that the building, the landmark that it is future-proofed and its legacy is secured? And that's why having an inclusive conversation, opening it up and including people in that conversation is something that will, I think, play an important role in its wider development over the long
term. And when people like Sinn Féin say that having retail spaces, for example, in there is not what was envisaged by our version of our founding fathers and that this is inappropriate, what do you say to that?
Well, there's obviously some small amount of retail space there presently, but this doesn't have a commercial context. We want to lead this consultation and conversation in a way that is in the public interest, with a civic focus, with a way that preserves the history and the legacy of the GPO. This is not being advanced in a kind of with a commercial focus. It's for people. It's a catalyst for the regeneration of O'Connell Street. And that's why I want people to be involved in it.
All right. Moving on to something else, the triple lock. Obviously, the Taoiseach has said and the government have said that it is what they want to do to see the change occurring, sort of the transformation of the triple lock to a double lock, if you will, instead of it being government, Dáil and Security Council of the UN deciding about the deployment of our troops. It would just come down to government and Dáil. Lots and lots of Fianna Fáil TDs very unhappy at what they see as a change of policy.
Well, look, there's been kind of discussion on this since about 2022. I think when the Taoiseach, the now Taoiseach, was Minister for Foreign Affairs and Defence, he kind of had a wider engagement as part of kind of the wider reforms that could take place. And in the Fianna Fáil manifesto, we said we'd reform the triple lock in the programme for government.
How are so many of your TDs unaware that that's your policy?
We will have kind of constructive engagement within the parliamentary party. But I believe, just standing back from the party political dimension of this, in that we shouldn't have a veto from some other power around how we deploy our troops. And that's a basic principle to that, which in the context of the UN Security Council not being able to agree a resolution over many, many years, that we should be able to have, you know, sovereign and direct control over how we deploy our troops, which is upholding the principle of neutrality, I would argue. And that we.
So are you saying that the triple lock is not the core of our neutrality?
I think how we're reforming it is at the core.
Because I'm quoting Micheál Martin, who said it was the core of our neutrality in 2013 in the Dáil.
Well, we've obviously,
and isn't that part of the reason that this argument has broken out in Fianna Fáil? Because
policy evolves in the basis of.
There's been a flip flop there.
No, I don't accept that. Policy evolves in the context of international affairs, geopolitics, and.
So was he wrong in 2013 when he said it?
He set out very clearly the basis of reform. And as a party, we've agreed that in the context of our manifesto and in the programme for government.
If it isn't a core of our neutrality now, either it wasn't then and he was wrong then, or it is and he's wrong now.
No, I think it's at the base of how, look what's happened in the last 5 years. Look what Russia has done in Ukraine.
Oh no, I fully accept that the geopolitical landscape has changed.
But geopolitics...
But whether or not the triple lock is fundamental to our neutrality has not changed.
But geopolitics informs... everything in terms of your position in international affairs and your position on defence and your position on your deployment of troops. And I believe, for example, there could be opportunities for Ireland to uphold our proud tradition of peacekeeping.
So are you saying our relationship with neutrality has evolved?
I think as it relates to the triple lock, it has. In that, you know, I think people saw the expression of neutrality around our peacekeeping missions. And the fact that without a UN mandate, some of the peacekeeping missions that exist today may not be able to exist in the future, or we wouldn't be able to deploy our troops because we can't get a UN mandate.
So that should be
a sovereign decision that we make.
Is it a fact then that we are getting rid of the triple lock? That's what's happening.
We're reforming it so that...
We won't have the triple lock anymore if we make these reforms. So we're getting rid of the triple lock.
We'd be reforming it so that, again, we'd have direct sovereign democratic control of our deployment of troops.
And that's going to happen.
And that's obviously set out. The reform of the triple lock is set out in the programme for government, and that's something is being progressed.
When is this reform going to...
So it's over the next number of months. The legislation is obviously being progressed by Minister McEntee. And, it's something we'll obviously be engaging it within our own.
And you don't
party.
Expect revolt from the backbenches?
No, we have engagement on all policy issues. And again, it's having that informed conversation is important in the party. And I value my colleagues' views and perspectives. And again, debate is healthy in any political party.
Bernardo's have a report out today, Minister. Parents skipping meals and cutting heating as 36% report energy bill arrears. Over a third of families now in energy arrears in this country, one of the wealthiest countries in Europe. That's not a very good reflection on how our finances are being managed here, is it?
Well, what I'd say in Budget 26, we specifically targeted child poverty and specifically, and I think that will, people will see the impact of that this year. If you think of the we had nearly a €2 billion social protection package, again, focused on low-income households. And we've introduced additional...
44% of parents saying they're skipping meals. 30% say that they do not have enough food to feed their children. And that's up from last year.
I acknowledge cost of living is impacting many families. And the wider cost of living issue will obviously be a priority for us and how we agree Budget 2027. And again, targeting supports for the households most in need will frame how we engage in terms of the decisions we make.
Do you expect Budget 2027 to ease the pressure of the cost of living on families in Ireland?
That's always a priority, is to absolutely ease the cost of living and then balance that with improvement of services for people. So it is about striking that balance with what's available.
And can you commit to that? Can you say, yes, that is how it's going to be? People after Budget 2027 are going to be better off.
We're going to have a social protection package where we want to target low-income households and support people that are feeling
the pressure. When it's almost half of households, that's right into the middle income.
It is, and that's why I know for a lot of listeners who are driving home this evening from work after a hard day's work want to see a bit of their pay remain in their pocket and are not being paid in tax. That's why we've been clear a priority for us is an income tax package, so we reward work and support those who mightn't get the direct supports through social protection with a bit more back in terms of the tax package that's advanced and obviously the prioritising in income tax is an important context.
What about college fees? You had made a commitment that we were going to see them come down over time. Childcare, we were going to see that come down over time. Are we going to see those things happen?
Well, we have to agree the budget yet, so we have a couple of months more. As I know from the brief I have, there's always a lot more requested than what we have available. But except to say, we want to make progress across many of these areas in each budget and do so with what's available, but also improve the outputs. It's not all about more. And too often in these discussions, we have endless talk about how much more we can spend. How do we improve the outputs and the efficiencies from the level of spend that has increased in recent years? People listening also want to see better value with the level of expenditure that's increased. And I suppose part of what I'm trying to do in government is drive reform as much as having a conversation about how much more we allocate to different departments. And reform is as important so we have sustainability for the public finances as anything else.
Minister for Public Expenditure, Jack Chambers, thank you very much for joining us.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman. With Kia. Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.